All right. I'm going to stand down here. All right. So I'm going to talk about worship styles. And actually, if there's anything you don't know what worship styles really means and what you had no idea when I talk about worship, when I title this worship styles, it actually has to coincide exactly with the moment we have right now. And I will talk about it a bit more as we go along. And you will see that what we need more than ever before is worship. Like in a song, you know, now is the time for us to what? Complain, walk the streets, verse 6. Now is the time for us to pray, to praise God and trust that His good plan is there. And so worship styles really talks about that. I'm going to give you a few pictures. I'm going to put some worship styles up there. And if you have actually worshipped in this style before, I want you to raise your hands. Can or not? Can you do that for me? Can I? It's a simple thing, right? So the first worship style, let's try this. Anybody worship in this Christian worship style before? Orthodox? Greek Orthodox? Russian Orthodox? No? This style of worship, right, is the earliest Christian style of worship we have. In about the 3rd, 4th century, this is the style of worship in the church. All over the Roman Empire. So if you're looking at how they worship now, this is how Christian worship looked like in the 3rd and 4th century. And they are very adamant that you must worship that same style. So they don't believe any other style is valid. Okay? So they have been very serious about how they do it. So imagine this, you're talking about 1,700 years now. How they worship 1,700 years ago, if you go to a church, an Orthodox church, they worship the same exact way they would have worshipped 1,700 years ago. Alright? So this is the style of worship. And I went to a Russian Orthodox church in America, and I was so impressed. Because when I was worshipping with them, right, the kids were all together, the babies were all together, they were all in one service. And they don't have music instruments like all of us. They all sing a cappella, they chant, and the kids could chant in parts. So there was like 3-4 parts harmony and they were doing it, you know. And the kids were like, that's normal. Now I try to get my worship team to sing in parts, they're going to vomit blood. They don't like me. But anyway, that's beside the point. How would you describe those that have actually worshipped in this style of worship? How would you describe the style? Huh? Visual? Ritual? Is there anything wrong with ritual? You do your ritual every morning, you brush your teeth, right? It's when it's ritualistic that it's bad, like you brush your teeth and you forget the purpose of why you brush your teeth. Right? Then you just simply brush. Or like your kids, like, you know, I don't want to brush anymore. Because it becomes a ritual, it becomes ritualistic. Rituals are good because it reminds you, you do it, it's good for you. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Yeah, they have a lot of rituals. A lot of rituals that when I study it, I go head bonkers trying to remember everything. But they have a lot of rituals. And what else? If you've never experienced it before, when I went to this experience, right, they engage every sense of your body in worship. Your physical, your taste, your smell. You smell God. There's a smell for God. All right. There's visual, which you can see is very highly visual. There's icons everywhere. There's symbols everywhere. And so this is the Orthodox Church. And this is a style we call High Church. Okay? This doesn't mean our style is called Low Church. And it doesn't mean we are lower than them. They're higher than us. Okay? Basically, they have a very high view of the worship and access. So when people come in, people feel like, this is a very serious ceremony, obviously, right? Even if you're not used to the worship style, you would get it that this is a very high church setting. You dress formally, there's vestments, there's things, and all kind of things. So this is a style of worship. And this is this a valid style of worship? Because some of us, how many, when you went there, did you feel like you can worship? Yes. Some people know when it was a sensory overload to me. There was just so many things that I wanted to know. that my mind was not really thinking about God. I was like, what does this mean? Why are you doing this? You know, that was just sensory overload. But after I understood it, I really love experiencing it. Okay, we only have 2%. How about this style of worship? Roman Catholic worship. How many of you have experienced this before? So view? Why is some half like that? You half Roman Catholic experience, is it? Your friend is Roman Catholic and then you worship with him. So this is another, if you talk about styles, this is another high church style, isn't it? Now, they are less ritualistic than the Orthodox Church in some ways, less icons, but a lot. Still very highly visual, highly ceremonial. I wouldn't even use the word ritual. I would say it's ceremonial. It's a very serious ceremony. It's like you're meeting the king every week, if you're going to their services, right? How for some of you that worship with the Roman Catholic Church, I don't hear negative things. Boring lah. Don't know why I must stand and sit lah. Can you talk about the benefits of this style of worship when you experience it? Because this one got more people experience. What do you benefit from it? Nothing. It's very well thought through, right? Everything is systematic. Everything is intentional, right? What else? Very good. What else? Sorry, I can't hear you. It feels more communal. Why would you say that? There's more interaction with people. You take communion together. You kneel together. You stand together. Perhaps. What else? What have you experienced in this style? Yes? Oh, yes. There's more reverence for God. People dare not go up to the stage. Like my kid, every week I have to tell him, please don't run around on the stage. I'm sure in a Roman Catholic church, right, he dare not as well. Right? That's just this sense of reverence, right? That this is a holy place. You don't play. Okay? All right, so that's the style of worship. So Anglican worship is also very high church. This is an Anglican church in Malaysia, if you know. But Anglican cathedrals in England is like amazingly beautiful. And when you see the weddings of the royalty and all those kinds of things in the church, the weddings are amazingly elaborate and beautiful. But anyway, an Anglican church is also a high church. How many of you experienced Anglican worship before? Oh, yo, so few are. Alright, less than Roman Catholic. This is interesting. How would you describe the good parts about Anglican worship? Anyone? No. Anglican worship is really based on what we call the Book of Common Prayer. They have a book that really tells you how Anglicans worship from every facet of their life. Right? And it's where they base their entire worship on. Anybody ever read the Book of Common Prayer? No? I have no interest in it, right? But anyway, I did one of my theses on it, and it was like so hard work to do because there's so much tradition to it. But that is really the heartbeat of Anglican worship. And I remember the testimonies and stories about how people came in the faith. And in fact, in America, one of the fastest growing church is the Anglican church. Okay, not the one, that's the Episcopal Church and Anglican Church. They were together, both Anglicans, and then one supported same-sex marriages, one didn't, so they split. But the Anglican Church is one of the fastest growing church in America because there are a lot of young people that are going there and finding meaning in their worship again because they are very intentional again about everything they do, and the Book of Common Prayer really teaches you how to worship. All right, and so another hard high church style. This is Lutheran worship. Here now it becomes a bit less. It looks like it's getting a little bit more informal. But Lutheran worship is still generally very high church, very serious, very ceremonial. How many of you know what Lutheran worship is like? No? Wow. We have very little diversity. Oh, there, we have one Lutheran there. Okay. How about this? Reform worship. Anybody experience this? It's basically, Reformed worship doesn't mean like the Christian Reformed Church that we have in Malaysia, which is kind of cultish. It is really about those that are believe in John Calvin's teachings and prescribe to it. So then we start moving to that. This is after they reacted against all the formalities and then they reformed. So this is the start of what we call low church setting. Right? So historically, the church, you can see actually our worship also changed. It started from 3rd, 4th century. Then when the church became an established institution, then we had the Roman Catholic Church. Then when it went over to England, then we have the Anglican Church. After the Anglican Church, what happened? It became what? We reformed. So we have the Lutheran Church and then the Reformed Church. The Lutheran keep the sum of the formalities. The Reformed Church, no one to do with all the rituals. No, they are evangelicals. Yes, but but not they're not reformed. They're not reformed unless they preach. This Reformed Church that I'm talking about is the one during John Calvin's time, all right? The term, okay? And the church that I'm talking about, the style of worship. So we don't really experience this so much here. So this one I don't really ask. How many of you have experienced it when you go to America or something? Or Dutch, Netherlands, Dutch Reform? No? Yeah. This is a style of worship we seldom see. How about Quaker worship? Have you seen Quaker worship before? No, never experienced also. Yeah. So this style is basically the Brethren worship comes really from the Quaker. Right? Yeah. Yeah, Brethren, right? Then Pastor Ling is the full born bred Brethren. This is the style he worship. You want to describe? Why don't you describe what you think is really good about your worship style last time? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're very. It's about a move of the Holy Spirit. Everybody sits there and wait on God, and anybody can be used in some ways, right? But the brothers to use to reveal God's word. So sometimes they have services that are a bit more like ours. But a lot of times, it's a lot of waiting on God, and it's a very interesting way of worship. They don't move unless the Holy Spirit moves them, and. Some people cannot take it. Like, no formal. You don't move. In some instance in the history, it's so funny how, then they appoint people, they plant people to say things because nobody say anything. You know, that kind of things that happen. So that's a good thing. But what is very good is it's always communal. The hall design, the sitting design in a Brethren church is always about looking at each other. You know, it's not about looking at a hymn book or looking at a stage or something like that, usually. Right. Let's continue. How about Baptist worship? Oh, you all know where this church is, right? Oops. I hope I don't have any controversy. Yeah. So, what do you think is the Baptist worship? What makes us Baptist in our style? Food. So, what sets Baptist worship? So, we talk about all the different worship styles just now, and obviously, they all have distinctives, right? So what's our distinctive? Our distinctive is that we don't have any distinctive. Yeah, become like AOG. No, AOG very different. We're loud. We're very loud. So Baptist is not as loud. So for example, right? What else? Baptist, come on. Okay, it looks like I need to do a lesson on Baptist style of worship one day. This is how Baptists worship. And a non-Baptist teaching Baptist how to worship as a Baptist. I don't know how I'll do that. But anyway, the Baptist style, one of the clear things that Baptist people really revere is the preaching of the word. Right? That's one of the styles of worship that is very prominent in the Baptist circle. They're serious about God's word. So much so that the sermon is more important than everything else. Right? Okay? Yeah? So there are good and bad to that, and there's good and bad to every style. Alright? And then, of course, this one is where I come from, this Pentecostal worship style. All right? And how many of you experienced this before? Oh, this one got more experience. So, how would you describe Pentecostal worship? Concert? Did I hear concert? Dude, we never have concerts, okay? Colorful. Okay, good. That's more positive. Because I don't believe in concerts on Sunday. Lively. Loud. Huh? It's got a celebration feeling to it, all right? Yeah, these are some things. And I can go on with asking you on styles, you know, what about African style of worship? I can give you different styles of worship. But the one question I really want to ask you today is this. Which style of worship glorifies God more? All the same. Are you sure? Then why don't you worship Roman Catholic style? Or why don't you, you know, in a Pentecostal, I'm a Pentecostal, you know, right? So, how? Okay, if God doesn't mind, why did we have to split up? Why did we have to, we have actually said things, this sound not so good. Okay, let me give an example in this scenario. There is the hymn style, and then there's the contemporary song style. Guess what? In FBC, there's still contention and fight and opinion. Which style glorifies God more? So those, the hymn can say, hymns have more theological basis, you know. They don't repeat so much, you know. And that style glorifies God more. Then the contemporary side will say what? Oh, yeah, none of you know. Because none of you in the contemporary is it? No, what? And I think we've been asking the wrong question about styles of worship for a long, long time. Whether we realize it when we act and say one style, oh, I prefer hymns, I prefer this style of worship, I prefer Baptist worship, I prefer Catholic worship, I prefer preference. The question is, did God have any preference, right? Of any worship style? I think this is the more important question to ask. If we only worship, if worship is only, sorry, is not in, is only in one style, does it glorify God? Is sincere? Any styles will do, but you're saying any styles will do. I'm saying if it is only one style. That means in the end, right, we end up in heaven, right? There was only one style of worship. Does it glorify God? Cannot be one style, right? So now we got two camps now. One say, go to heaven, we'll all be one style. No lah. And I can tell you, let's look at Revelations to understand this, okay? After this, I look. And there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." And angels were standing around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, they fell down on their faces before the throne of God and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." When you read this, right, the first thing as a worship scholar I see is what? Diversity. I don't see uniformity. It doesn't say we go up there, we all worship in English. Notice that? It doesn't say we go up there, we all become Baptist worshippers. It doesn't say we go up there, we lose our identity as a people group. In fact, it looks so diverse that I, in my mind, right, it blows my mind. How are so many languages and now we try to worship in two languages and so want to vomit blood? How do we do it? How is this going to happen? How did John, when he saw that, see such diverse styles of worship, praising God in one loud voice? Have you asked the question, how did John know? Which language is it? Hebrew? Greek? English? Exactly. It probably is so many languages that we ourselves, and I don't know how it's going to happen in heaven. Would we understand each other in different languages? Would we be able? And what I'm trying to say is this. I think the answer to the question earlier is this. If we go to heaven and all our styles of worship converge into one style, I think it doesn't work. Why? Because we go again. God is a community of three persons. They are very diverse, but they are one. Our worship is supposed to be a reflection of His image. So it's supposed to reflect that diversity. So you know what I'm trying to say now? That if people go around and tell you this is the style you should worship in, this is the style that we go to heaven, we are going to worship like, there are people that teach that. I think they got it wrong. I think when we go to heaven, all styles of worship, from Orthodox all the way to Pentecostal, or you want to say African, or you want to say gay Indian, and maybe I'll ask you, maybe Malaysian worship will be present too? Whatever that is, we got to answer the question later. What is Malaysian worship? And it will all glorify God together. I don't think it's about one style. And I think we have believed that one style is more superior than another. I prefer one style. When you go to heaven, are you really going to say that I got preference? I still want, Lord, I'm a Baptist Christian. In heaven, we're all Christians. We're all what? And all these styles of worship is beautiful. Actually, if you look at the spectrum of the pictures, right? And notice that in heaven, it's all going to be there. It's kind of beautiful. I don't know how they'll converge. There's these things we call convergence in worship, and we've been praying about it. Worship scholars have been praying about it. We are praying that worship will converge. We're not saying that we'll combine, not saying that we will look alike, but we will converge. Because worship styles together, diversely, multiple styles, glorify God. Can you understand where I'm going? So we're going to talk about this, right? And we're going to move forward in this understanding of the paradigm. Can you understand why I've talked about the paradigm, Marie? Can I? Right, let's go. So, diversity worship. Only as a collective, diverse multitude of gathered people from all styles of worship is God's story truly magnified. God didn't only save one people. God didn't only save the Jews. God saved the whole world. And when God created us in the beginning, He created so much diversity. Even if you see in the animal kingdom, the amount of diversity, right? Have you ever seen diversity and go marvel, wow, God, you must be so creative, leh? Really, I never imagined some things can look the way it looked, you know, that God created. You know, it's like an alien from outer space or something like that. And guess what? Even in the deeper recesses of the sea, we still haven't even fully discovered what God has created. That's the amount of diversity that reflects who God is. Style may be negotiable, but the relevance of style is non-negotiable. Let me talk about this. We talk about the worship content. Content is about what? Trinitarian worship, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who He is. That is non-negotiable, right? We worship Him. Then the structure of worship, which is revelation and response. Now that is also non-negotiable. It is God that reveals Himself to us, then only we respond, right? It's not the other way around. Then, style, like I said, any style is possible, right? Any style will be accepted by God. Yes, that's true. But, style, of the relevance of style is non-negotiable. Why? Style wraps the content and structure of Christian worship into a cultural call to intense devotional commitment to follow Christ and with Him be poured out for the life of the world. We must touch the hearts of our congregations with the story of God wrapped in the stylistic language of the people who are there and are the people yet to come. Now, this is very important. We cannot remain static in our styles. Our styles need to change. All right? We need to be about the business of proclaiming and celebrating the gospel of God's reconciling work in Jesus Christ through multiple styles, relevant styles that nurture devotion and participation in the fullness of the life of God. We must know the heart sounds of our congregations and the heart sounds of our cultures. Let me give you an example. How many of you heard of Vatican II before? Now, before this Vatican II summit of council of all the leaders of the Catholic Church came together to talk about doctrinal issues, to talk about all these kind of things, the church predominantly worshipped in one star. What was that star? That the Word of God can only be read in Latin. The style is that Latin is the only holy language. You want to study the Word God, you want to read the Bible, it's only in Latin. Right? And what happened was that distanced people's access to God. All right? What happened was keeping the worship in Latin made only those that were prosperous enough to learn and speak Latin to have access to worship. Because here you go and a priest is talking in like this foreign language. If, for example, I do the entire worship service. Imagine all the songs I sing in a different language. Actually, I was tempted to lah. Just do the worship session just now, right? Do in a total foreign language the whole time. How would you feel? Distant, isn't it? I don't know how to respond. It is not a style that I can. It's not relevant to me, right? And so during Vatican II, one of the reforms was made by Patriarch Maximus, where he insisted that the use of Latin was not relevant to the people and made the gospel exclusive in style to a selected few of people. And so therefore, as a result, I'm cutting the story super duper short. It was many years that they had this council. It was a lot of arguments and fighting, and it wasn't a popular decision. But finally, they decided that mass, that means their services, which is their services are every day. Mass would be what? In the council would be made to be in a vernacular. That means in every people's language. That means if I go to Philippines, it will be in Tagalog. Can you imagine this? If a Catholic church is in, what do you call it, Philippines today, right? And they did not have this council and realized, right, that God worships, people's worship styles, the relevance of styles is non-negotiable. Philippines, or even the Catholic Church here, will still require us to worship in Latin. And this caused a massive revival in the world. In fact, your versions of Bibles were birthed. How you receive the Word of God in your own language was birthed out of a council of people who realized that they don't dominate styles of worship. No one has a right to claim dominance to the style of worship. But there's another thing that God is interested in. God is interested in our style of worship. And that was how I felt when I went to do my worship studies. The first day I went to the school, right? Because I'm going there to learn worship, right? And here I am, wow. Got people that cut albums, you know, those CDs you hear, you know. Don Moen is there. Everybody is there, you know. And here am I, this Malaysian that time, you know, the only Malaysian there. And I'm sitting down there and I'm like thinking, wow, here's all the style of worship. And oh, I loved all the styles of worship. But at the same time, I thought my style of worship didn't matter. And during the presidential address, the president says, we are in the business of worshiping God in multiple styles, relevant styles. That means we are not called to say that this is the style of worship you should take and go home and make happen. You need to equip yourself to know what God has called you and how God has called you to worship in your local context. And I just burst down crying. I said, God, finally I realized that how I am as a worshiper, a Malaysian worshiper, actually matters to you. And guess what? The question is, what is a Malaysian worshiper? Then I had 9 years and I'm still struggling with it. What is Malaysian worship? What happened to our style of worship? Is our style of worship not valuable enough for us to spend money, resources, and time discovering? That's a big question. All right? So, I think styles of worship is a big deal. And in fact, my thesis original thesis before I came to FBC, because now I come to FBC, I have to change my thesis topic entirely. But my previous proposal was about this. I was saying that worship should be contextual. Worship should be what? We, that reflects who we are. Can you imagine this? Gospel worship. African-American worship. If African-Americans were forced to worship like white Americans, we would lose gospel music. How many of you love gospel music? Yeah. Even the secular world loves the black gospel that you always see now in American. I don't want black choir come out. Actually, like, what is this church choir doing there singing this non-Christian song? But yeah, that style itself has grown to be something that, you know, sometimes they will say, wow, you brought me to church today. I think it glorifies God in one way. I hope it glorifies God better in another way. But I would say that I cannot imagine a world without gospel music. I can't imagine a world without Indian worship, without Western worship, without whatever worship styles. And I think God wants us to worship. So why diversity? First, because God is diverse and we reflect His image. I said that. Two, our diversity is what He created as good. When God said it is not good for man to be alone, what did He say? He essentially said, I'm going to make you somebody that's diverse, not the same as you. That's why your wife is the opposite. Not the same. So there's no diversity in homosexuality. That's why it doesn't reflect the image of God. That's why we don't believe that that is God's ordained way of worship. And here it is. We decide what is good for ourselves. And it used to be when the Anglican Church was in power and the British came here, what did they do? They came here and tell us this is the style you should worship. Did they? Do you remember our history? No. They came here to make us civilized, isn't it? And how did they civilize us? They also teach us their religion.